And I want to welcome you to I Want to Know More for this week in January. In the podcast today, we're going to be in the book of Judges, chapter number 12. Judges, chapter number 12. All right, before we read the scripture today, we've been following and going through the Word of God about Ammon with the idea of looking at the backstory. As David is fighting Ammon, why is David fighting Ammon? What's the deal? What is the deal with Ammon and the Ammonites? And we looked and we saw some things. And we saw Jephthah's rash vow and ungodly sacrifice. God would not ever bless that sort of sacrifice. He just wouldn't. The Bible is silent to judge Jephthah about it. But then Judges chapter 12 comes along, and it's as if the Lord has pulled back a little bit of the grace that he showed to Jephthah. And now they're getting ready to fight an enemy from within, a civil war within Israel. And it's a rough thing. It's a rough situation. We're going to talk about it at length. It really is an interesting study. We'll get back to the Ammonites soon enough. But this week, at least, we're going to look at the subject, what's the deal with Ephraim? What's going on here with Ephraim? So we'll be in Judges chapter number 12. We'll pick up the story of the Ammonites again in a week or two, however the Lord leads. I want to be led by the Lord. I realize I tend to run rabbits. I run all kinds of little tangents here and there. I always come back to where I was. But sometimes, I still remember one time preaching a message at Macedonia, and at the time I was using pre-recorded messages from the pulpit to fill in for the broadcast. That was the way the Lord was dealing with me at the time. And so I preached a message, and it was about twice as long as a broadcast. And in the middle of that message, I ran a really, really, really serious rabbit. And so it ended up being two broadcasts. One broadcast was that message without the rabbit, and the second broadcast was the rabbit. That's the way the Lord worked out in that case. And, you know, if you read Deuteronomy, you'll see that Moses runs his share of rabbits too. If you read Paul's writings and you see expressions that are set off by parentheses, Paul's running his own little rabbits there too. Although they are not little rabbits, they're part of Scripture. Those are things, I have a very difficult time staying focused on a topic. And so I understand, why these, scriptures, go off on tangents sometimes. And I do the same thing. And I realize that this is going to be a bit of a tangent, looking at Ephraim as running a rabbit, but I've prayed about it. And this is where the Lord wants me to be. This is where the Lord wants me to study today. I don't know why. It's not for me to know why. It's for me to do what thus saith the Lord. And so, Judges chapter number 12. We're going to read down a little ways. And a man of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands, and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, nay, then said they unto him, say now Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. Now there's a parallel here. This is parallel to the passage in Judges chapter number 8, where virtually the same thing happened to Gideon, although the Ephraimites were not nearly as upset about it. They were pretty mad about it. Why'd you not call us? And the fact of the matter is, Gideon did call them. Now, it was after the initial battle with the 300 men, you know, he had way more than that. And then the Lord said, the people are too many. And he ended up with 300 men to go against the Midianites there. And that was on one side of the Jordan. This with Ammon is on the other side of the Jordan. But what we see here is some political intrigue between brothers. Two tribes of Israel from one root. See, the Gileadites are of the tribe of Manasseh. Likewise, Gideon was in that same general area, and Manasseh was involved in that fight. Mm-hmm. And Ephraim was upset that they weren't at the middle of the battle. Now, there's a lot to be said here. There's a lot to be said about the rivalry. This rivalry goes all the way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 48 records where Joseph brings his two children, Manasseh and Ephraim. And remember, Manasseh is the elder. Ephraim is the younger. Mm-hmm. Manasseh is the elder. Ephraim is the younger. And so Joseph brings, he takes them to see his father, who is on his deathbed. And Genesis 48 records the interaction. And so he positions the boys to where Manasseh will get the right hand of Israel, of Jacob, and Ephraim will get the left, because Manasseh is the older, Ephraim is the younger. And it says that Jacob's eyes were dim, he could not see, and yet he crossed his arms and put his right hand on Ephraim's head and his left hand on Manasseh's head. And buddy, Joseph was not happy about that. He says, nay, 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 this is the older. And this is the younger. And Jacob says, I know it. I know it. I know it. See, Jacob was in the same boat as Ephraim and Manasseh. Jacob and Esau. Esau was older by just a few minutes. And Jacob, being the younger, usurped over the elder. And here we have a repetition of that. But then again, Jacob does something really, really, it's unlawful. The law of Moses says that it's wrong that if a man marries two sisters, one that he loves and one that he doesn't, then the one he marries first is the one who gets the honor of having the eldest child. Mm-hmm. And in this case, Jacob was going to give the blessing of the eldest to Joseph. Now, the line was going to go down through Judah, which was Jacob's fourth born. How'd that work? Well, Reuben messed up. He lost his birthright because he went to his father's concubine and lay carnally with her. And then Simeon and Levi stirred up all the trouble with the men of Shechem about the assault on their sister Dinah. Mm-hmm. And so Reuben and Simeon and Levi were the three eldest. And as far as Jacob was concerned, they were all three disqualified. And Judah gets the birthright. Joseph gets the blessing. And how does Joseph get the blessing? He gets a double portion. That's what Jacob did. He said, As Reuben and Simeon are, so shall Ephraim and Manasseh be. They will be as if they were my own children. Uh-huh. So that assures Joseph of a double portion. The elder son's portion, the eldest son's portion, because as far as Jacob was concerned, Rachel was his first wife. And Joseph was the elder son of his first wife. He even goes as far as to say, my wife. He did not even consider that Leah was really his wife. And yet Leah was probably way better at being a mother than Rachel was. We often romanticize the story of Jacob and Rachel and how that Laban got in the middle and Leah was the usurper. But the fact of the matter is, well, Jacob should have been more careful. And Leah was, by all appearances, the better mom. Because look how Joseph turned out. After Rachel died, delivering Benjamin, who was Joseph's mother? Leah. Joseph was raised by Leah. And so Leah was probably the better woman, but Jacob was head over heels with Rachel. Well, it's a very convoluted story. It really is. But Jacob conspires essentially to give Joseph the birthright simply by saying, "I'm adopting these two, and they're just like they were my own sons." So you have the tribe of Ephraim and the tribe of Manasseh instead of just the tribe of Joseph. And Ephraim and Manasseh get two lots. You'll find that in the book of Joshua. Joshua 14 is one of the scriptures. There's others. I encourage you to look up. I encourage you to trace it down how that Joseph would get two lots. That's actually said in those words, that Joseph would get two lots and Ephraim and Manasseh would both get their own lot. And in this case, Manasseh got two lots, one on one side of the Jordan and one on the other. Now, don't you know that is a recipe for jealousy? And the situation with Gideon and the Ephraimites can be chalked up to jealousy. He called the men of Mount Ephraim, and then when they came, they said, "Why didn't you call us sooner? Why didn't you call us sooner against the Midianites?" Well, the obvious response is, well, it wasn't the will of God. Gideon has a different response. You can read all that in Judges chapter 8. That's all right there. It's an interesting tale. But here it's gone beyond jealousy. Here it is envy. See, the Ammonites were distressing the Ephraimites too. According to the scripture earlier in chapter number 10 of Judges. Ephraim was being distressed by Ammon as well as the Gileadites. But the Ephraimites don't just say, "Why didn't you call us? You should have called us." They said, "Because you didn't, we're going to burn you and your house with fire." What? What's up with that? That's envy. It ends up costing the Ephraimites dearly. It does. Sibling rivalry is a really serious problem. And it can become a problem in churches when you have siblings in a church, and especially if one is in a leadership role and the other or others are not. There can be some issues, especially if it's the younger in a leadership role and it's the elder that's not. And sometimes it's the other way around. Ephraim and Manasseh, for instance. That's usually the way they're said, even though Manasseh was the older. Manasseh was the elder here. But rather than recognize that Ephraim, the Ephraimites, even says the Ugileadites are fugitives of the Ephraimites and Manassites. They don't want to recognize that they're their own people and that Manasseh actually got the double portion. Ephraim got the birthright or the blessing, and Manasseh got the double portion as the elder son. Half tribe on one side of Jordan, half tribe on the other. And that's why you'll find through the book of Judges, half tribe of Manasseh, the half tribe of Manasseh. All right, you got to determine which half tribe you're talking about. The half tribe on the western side of Jordan or the half tribe on the eastern side. These Ephraimites, they were very upset. Number one, the Gileadites had better land. The land was better for flocks in Gilead than it was where Ephraim was. At least that's what they thought. As the saying goes, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Well, they were saying the grass is greener on the other side of the Jordan when they were on the promised land side and the Gileadites were not. Originally, they were supposed to all go over Jordan. But half of the tribe of Manasseh, the Gileadites, the tribe of Reuben, and the tribe of Gad came on that side. And that is an interesting thing. I mean, I always find it interesting, the intrigue between these tribes and between these children of Israel. We've gone over that in the past when we studied the breastplate of judgment in the tabernacle a number of years ago. We went through and studied each tribe and how the stones of the breastplate matched the tribes and matched the characteristics of the tribes. And Gad was the firstborn of Leah's handmaid, Zilpah. Bilhah had already had a couple, and Zilpah was now going to have a couple. And these four, the children of Bilhah and Zilpah, figure in prominently in the story of Joseph. Those were the sons of the handmaids. And Joseph, of course, the father of Ephraim and of Manasseh, was born later. Now, this situation with Ephraim and Manasseh had been boiling for a significant amount of time. It had been boiling over for a significant amount of time. For the Ephraimites to be this way about it, for the Ephraimites to come up to Jephthah and say, we're going to burn you and your house with fire because you didn't call us. What's going on here? Well, Jacob had given the blessing to Ephraim and had said, you're going to be the one. You're going to be preferred. And so hearing that blessing would have made the people of Ephraim would have made them somewhat proud. We also find in 1 Chronicles that Ephraim was a bit of a hard luck tribe. There was evil happened to some of the children of Ephraim. And while all the other tribes have four generations between going down into Goshen and the Exodus, Ephraim has more than four generations. But Ephraim has the deliverer. The deliverer of Israel to take them into the promised land is out of Ephraim, Joshua, the son of Nun. He is an Ephraimite. A lot of things can be said about sibling rivalry. And if you read in the Word of God, you see it here. You see it so clearly. It is so clear that there's some serious problems between Manasseh and Ephraim. They had borders. They had a shared border. And the land around one of the cities, Tapuah, the city belonged to one tribe and the land around it belonged to the other. Can you imagine some of the conflicts that might arise over that? Can you imagine some of the issues that could happen? And yet, It's an example to us as Christians. It's an example to us that we need to go in the particular place that God has put us. God put Manasseh in the place that Manasseh was. God put Jephthah in his position. Who were the men of Ephraim to second guess God? Well, it ended up costing them. It did. And it was done in a very cruel way. A very cruel way. The men of Gilead underneath Jephthah had captured the fords of Jordan. Very strategic. And as Ephraimites would try to run away, they had a test, a shibboleth. And in fact, if you look up the meaning of that word shibboleth, you'll find that modern day meaning, it's a test. It's a test of to see who you are. Even today, if you go into certain countries and try to infiltrate the culture, they will have tests to see if you can pronounce certain words and if you can pronounce them right, because there are words that have sounds that are difficult for other people to pronounce. Certain letters, certain sounds of consonants especially. And here, it's cruel, in my opinion at least, it's cruel to use a speech impediment to be a password essentially, to be a test. They said, say shibboleth. And if the person could not frame to pronounce it correctly and said sibboleth, then they died for the way they pronounced their words. Is that not a cruel thing to do? I think it's a cruel thing to do. Making fun of people of how they pronounce or mispronounce or how they frame their sounds, to me, is very cruel. And I had trouble as a kid myself pronouncing certain consonant sounds. So I can relate to the men of Ephraim here as they were being forced to say a word that they could not say properly. It's almost like asking a southerner to hear the difference between the word pen and the word pen. Did you hear a difference? You can hear the difference in the vowels easier if you pronounce pig versus peg. Peg. You know, as in Peg McCamey. It's the same difference, vowel sounds. P-E-N is pen. P-I-N is pen. And yet, we Southerners, I have a hard time hearing it. I can just barely hear a difference between those two. And that's only because I know I'm listening for it. But we Southerners have a hard time saying it correctly as far as a Northerner would be concerned. That's our shibboleth, I guess you could say. Cruelty between brothers. Civil war. 42,000 die. What a shameful thing. What a shameful thing. Oh my. And I want to thank you for listening to the I Want to Know More podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, that's Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And join us again here next week for the I Want to Know More podcast.